If you saw the recent allegations against Jay-Z related to the Diddy case and heard about rumors about Beyonce and Aaliyah's death and all kinds of crazy stuff, I'm going to put it all together for you today here on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Today, we're going to catch up on these bombshell allegations. We'll review the charges from October's Diddy allegations, how it fits into a larger conspiracy surrounding the silencing of Jaguar Wright, the involvement of Beyonce, and then we'll cover Jay-Z's response and him firing shots at conspiracy theorists. We'll look at the actual conspiracies. We're going to talk about Tory Lanez, Desiree Perez, Beyonce, Aaliyah, R. Kelly, Damon Dash, and so much more. Let me be your guide. I've been talking about this stuff for over 10 years. My name is Isaac Weisop. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture Podcast. Now, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. This was the book about the Illuminati and occult symbolism found within hip-hop, okay? This has been a very strange journey with this book. I've had lots of strange connections, some I can't even tell you about. I got interviewed by Complex Magazine with Prodigy from Mobb Deep about this book. I was on Sirius XM talking about this book. It's a very strange thing, and in fact, if you buy a copy of it, the one you'll get today is actually the second version, where I added some information about my experience of going to Sirius XM to defend some of these ideas back in 2015. And the book turned out to be quite prophetic, which is very strange, okay? And in fact, in that extra bonus content that is in the book, I talked about Diddy with Cassie and the symbolism of Satanism in his 3 a.m. perfume. We talked about Drake and Young Thug and Lil Wayne. It's actually pretty crazy. So without further ado, let's get into today's content. Oh, no, housekeeping. If you like this show, you want to support this show, support independent journalism, you've got a few options, but today I've got a hot option, a discount code. I brought coupons. If you go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, you can go ad-free, unlock hundreds of hours of content, bonus content, hundreds of episodes. Use promo code Diddy, D-I-D-D-Y, all caps, and you'll get 80% off tier 1 or tier 2. You've only got until December 16th, I believe, 2024. Get in for a buck. Why am I doing this? I just did it for Black Friday. It's because I think I screwed up. I didn't tell you guys the promo code to use. I didn't make it crystal clear. So I'm going to try one more time. Promo code Diddy, get into Patreon for a buck. And you're even going to be able to keep The Dark Path and Kubrick's Code, my first two books. So anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested. Jay-Z, though, hot topic. We got to go back in time just a little bit, though. All right. Back in October, there was a lawsuit filed against Diddy, one among many. And this is the one where there was claims of 120 accusers and a child as young as 9 years old. It's a mess. Let me recap from AP News. An attorney said Tuesday he is representing 120 accusers who have come forward with sexual misconduct allegations against Diddy, the hip-hop mogul, awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. Houston attorney Tony Busby says he expects lawsuits to be filed within the next month, with most expected to be filed in New York and Los Angeles. Busby described the victims as 60 males and 60 females, and that 25 were minors at the time of the alleged misconduct. One individual alleged he was 9 years old when he was abused. The allegations cover a period from 1991 to this year. All right. So that was filed back then. And he said, look, we're going to be dropping a bunch of suits from New York to LA and all kinds of stuff. So be on the lookout, okay? Then Sunday, December 8th. Yes, I'm recording this December 9th, so this was yesterday. The case was refiled. A remix, if you will. That claims Jay-Z was involved in one of these particular cases of the 120, which involved a 13-year-old. So not a happy 55th birthday for Jay-Z. Remember, his birthday is December 4th. We talked about that recently on the CEO Shooter Show, which that's had some massive sort of updates since I recorded that I might have to revisit. But for now, Jay-Z, all right? Let's go to Fox News. Jay-Z was accused of raping a minor along with Sean Diddy Combs at a MTV VMAs after party in 2000, according to documents obtained by Fox News Digital. The lawsuit, which was initially filed in October, the one I told you guys about just a second ago, was refiled Sunday in New York by an anonymous accuser claiming Jay-Z, whose full name is Sean Carter, raped her while Combs and Celebrity B, watched. Initially, the lawsuit stated Combs raped the minor while Celebrity A and Celebrity B watched. Carter was named as Celebrity A in the refiled lawsuit. So, the whole purpose of the refiling is to put a name, an actual name, to Celebrity A and B. So Celebrity A is Jay-Z. Who could Celebrity B be? Well, that's an interesting letter to choose for this particular guess. Let's try to come up with something. So we need to go over to Reuters from October. I'm going to read you, again, the original filing to learn more about who Celebrity B might be. In one new lawsuit, the plaintiff said she was 13 when Combs drugged and assaulted her at an after-party for the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards in New York. She said Combs and an unnamed male celebrity vaginally raped her while an unnamed female celebrity looked on. After Combs proclaimed, quote, "You are ready to party." And what that's referencing is that in some of the other places I read up on this stuff, the young girl said she took a drink, which was obviously dosed, very Bill Cosby-esque. This is right in line with all of the Diddy allegations. She went to lay down in a bedroom, and in barges Diddy and apparently Jay-Z, Celebrity A, with a female, Celebrity B. So now we know Celebrity B is a female. And this is where it starts to get wicked. Who was Jay-Z? Because first of all, the 2000 VMAs, I believe that was the one I shared on my social media as a video clip that showed the slap. Remember all this weird synchro mysticism? How Will Smith went on stage and slapped Chris Rock a couple years ago, live in front of everybody. And the synchro mysticism was from the 2000 MTV VMAs hosted by the Wayans. Because that same exact scenario sort of played out on that show. I played the video clip on my socials. Check it out. At Isaac Weishaupt on Instagram. Like and subscribe. And in the crowd, Will Smith was there. Because the joke was, I think it was Sean Wayans, was portraying himself as Chris Rock, making fun of celebrities. And he made fun of Cisco having short hair like Eve. And then who gets on stage? I think Diddy gets on stage and pretends he slaps him. And then if you go to the actual Will Smith, Chris Rock slap from a couple years ago, who came on next after the slap? It was Diddy. He came up on stage and said, "Oh, we're going to sort this all backstage. It's all love." Anyway, so who was Celebrity B? Who's the female that was watching Jay-Z and Diddy rape a 13-year-old? Well, who was he dating in 2000? We're going to get into it a little bit, but we think it was Beyonce. I mean, he was dating a lot of women. First off, let's throw him a bone. He is a womanizer. He raps about it in the songs, and he lived it, right? There's all these infidelity allegations. But it's the oddest thing, because nobody knows when Beyonce and Jay-Z started dating. It could be 99, it could be 2000, it could be 97. It depends on what you want to believe. Nobody seems to really know. We're going to come back to that later, though. All these rappers into these teenage girls. Because it comes down to a power thing, right? They want to groom these young girls and brainwash them, which fits into a lot of the allegations that we've seen from Jay-Z. Remember the video clip of Beyonce at the front stage of the basketball game looking like she's all MK Ultra blissed out? I made a joke that she looked MK Ultra blitzed out. Maybe that's more on the head than we thought. So, Sunday, December 8th, that comes out that, yeah, Jay-Z was there. Jay-Z responds, absolutely immediately, very quick. Like he's been waiting. Like he knew this was coming. How would he know? How would he know it's coming? It's because he plugged in. He's plugged into the Illuminati, as we will prove throughout this episode, as I've been saying for years. If you go to Rock Nation's Twitter, which, by the way, I'm back on Twitter. I tried to leave out of, moral dilemmas, because I don't think Mr. New World Order is a good person. I think he's the most evil nerd that ever walked the planet, and I wanted to leave. The heart wants what it wants. No, the reality is I have a job to do, and that job requires me to stay abreast of situations in pop culture and the world of conspiracy. And at the moment, Threads and Blue Sky, just it ain't it, Chief. It don't have it. It just doesn't have that razzmatazz. Maybe it's the inner troll in me. I don't know what it is. They just don't scratch the itch. So I'm going to maintain those. I'll still update Threads and Blue Sky, but I'm back on X. Am I going to post anything? I don't know. Because that was part of the decision was I don't like that he made us sign new terms and conditions that says everything we post is going to be fed into AI. And I think AI is going to be the end of humanity. It's going to kill us all. So I don't want to be a part of that, but I don't know. We'll see. So Rock Nation's Twitter said, my lawyer received a black... This is from Jay-Z. My lawyer received a blackmail attempt called a demand letter from a lawyer, quote-unquote lawyer, named Tony Busby. What he had calculated was the nature of these allegations and the public scrutiny would make me want to settle. No, sir, it had the opposite effect. It made me want to expose you for the fraud you are in a very public fashion. So no, I will not give you one red penny! All caps. These allegations are so heinous in nature that I implore you to file a criminal complaint, not a civil one. Whomever would commit such a crime against a minor should be locked away. Would you not agree? These alleged victims would deserve real justice if that were the case. This lawyer, who I've done a bit of research on, seems to have a pattern of these types of theatrics. I have no idea how you have come to be such a deplorable human, Mr. Busby, but I promise you I've seen your kind many times over. I'm more than prepared to deal with your type. You claim to be a Marine? Marines are known for their valor. You have neither honor nor dignity. My only heartbreak is for my family. There it is. It's always self. These people are so egotistical. And that I believe him. That is his only heartbreak is for himself. My wife and I will have to sit our children down, one of whom is at the age where her friends will surely see the press and ask questions about the nature of these claims and explain the cruelty and greed of people. I mourn yet another loss of innocence. Children should not have to endure such at their age. It is unfair to have to try to understand inexplicable degrees of malice meant to destroy families and human spirit. My heart and support goes out to true victims in the world who have to watch how their life story is dressed in costume for profitability by this ambulance chaser in a cheap suit. You have made a terrible error in judgment, thinking that all celebrities are the same. I'm not from your world. I'm a young man who made it out of the projects of Brooklyn. 55-year-old young man. We don't play these types of games. We have very strict codes and honor. We protect children. You seem to exploit people for personal gain. Only your network of conspiracy theorists, fake physics, will believe the idiotic claims you have levied against me that, if not for the seriousness surrounding harm to kids, would be laughable. Look forward to showing you just how different I am. This, in my opinion, is a death threat. Plain and simple. I think this is a death threat. I look forward to showing you just how different I am. Talks about the strict codes. Well, what are the codes of the streets? The codes is stop snitching. Maybe that's what he's really mad about. It's like he's calling out people. Because, like, I'm sorry, dude, but, like, hitching your wagon up to, I mean, Diddy. You know, Diddy had an apology, big sad sob story too. And then the video came out, everyone was like, ugh. I don't know. He said, we don't play these types of games where he's from. I mean, I think these are dangerous people. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I a lot of these guys, I believe them. You know what I mean? Jay-Z was allegedly stabbed a guy and killed him. Did he kill him? I don't know if he killed him or not. He stabbed a guy, allegedly, then got off the hook. Some people say he didn't stab the guy. He just took it for street cred. I don't know. I think these are dangerous human beings sometimes. So, but I do find it interesting. He says this guy's in a network of conspiracy theorists, right? He's trying to make himself appear innocent, saying this is all conspiracy theories. But it's interesting considering that a lot of people looked at conspiracy theories to find the real truth, to be more accurate and honest than the veil of mainstream media in Hollywood. The old system is dead, my friends. I'm sorry. The old system where people looked up to and respected celebrities to the point of maybe a little too much. I think those days are over. That's pretty clear. Now, and that leads me to another idea. Like, I don't want to be whiny. I don't want to be soapboxy. But, you know, I've taken a lot of shots over the last 14 years talking about these subjects, and I'm always trying to be the guy that's very rational about it. In fact, in the Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, that second sort of rewrite, I described my experience of going to Sirius XM, and people called in. Nobody believed anything I was saying. A lot of the stuff is, I mean, the things that are opinion, I say are opinion, the things that are conjecture and theory, I say are conjecture and theory. But there's a lot of, but it's a lot of facts about the history of the occult, history of the Illuminati, MK Ultra is in here. And people called in and thought I was like full of it. They told me to kill myself. Someone tried to tell me that Aleister Crowley wasn't even in the OTO. I think I even said on the radio, I was like, he like ran the OTO. What are you talking about? Anyway, over the years, I've had so many people laugh in my face. That's why I don't talk about these things in my personal life, because I think theories are all interesting. All these conspiracies are interesting. Does that mean I get behind them 100%? No. I'm very critical of a lot of conspiracy theorists and truthers. I push back on a lot of stuff. But I think a lot of people can't handle the nuance of that for some reason. I don't know why it is. And over the years, I've had so many people, I mean, when I say laugh in my face, I've had friends laugh in my face, like mocking me. And it's hurtful, you know? That's why I don't really talk about it much, because it's like, I never know what people are thinking. They think I'm crazy. It's been very difficult. If you've been around long enough, you understand it. You understand what I'm saying. I don't need to explain it. People get very combative. I've had people get in my face that want to hit me. It's not easy. And so it bothers me when I see people, particularly with this Jay-Z thing today, posting on social media, sort of pretending that they built the conspiracy truther network. And a lot of these people just showed up in the last couple years, just out of nowhere, just showed up. And to show up post-2020 as a quote-unquote truther is a lot easier than it was back in 2011. Because now people accept these ideas and they're like, I don't know, the conspiracy people got it right. What's the difference between conspiracy theory and a fact? A couple years is what they say, right? So, because I see, and I'm not like trying to start shit, so I'm not going to say names, but like some people are like, I've been talking about Jay-Z for years now, and now it's finally coming to light. And like the whiny part of me is like, I don't know, dude, like, a lot of people haven't earned their stripes in this thing. Like, if you haven't been banned off of everything and laughed at in your face, and you showed up after 2020 when it was popular and cool to be a conspiracy theorist, like, I'm not saying like you shouldn't be able to talk about these things, but I mean, to not pay homage to people like me. No, I'm just kidding. But to not... I don't know. And maybe that's where I'm just like jaded about it because I've been kicked off of everything. It's been a tough road, you know? And I think a lot of the real OGs in this thing that have been around forever know this and see this. And I don't hear anyone talking about it. I see some of these newbies will hit millions of followers. Every door in the world opened up for some reason. And OGs, you know, get silenced and banned and suppressed, and nobody even knows these names. And why is that? You know, I think it's because the new truthers, I think there's a massive psyop that happened around 2020, and the truther group got hijacked by political conspiracies, is what I'm trying to say. Which is the exact thing the old school truthers taught me. It was like, that's politics is all smoke and mirrors and wrestling. And for some reason, people forget this. You know, and I have my leanings. I would never, though, tell you this politician's going to save us all. This political party's going to save us all. You need to get out there and get with this one person, because I don't believe that. I think you can have your leanings and prefer one candidate over the other. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't have a problem with that at all. I just think that when you start saying the world's going to end if we don't get this person in, this person's the savior coming to save us from this and that and the other, I don't believe you. You're untrustworthy, and you are aligned to forces, which is completely the opposite of what every conspiracy theorist that I've respected coming through and coming up has taught me. You know, there's only one savior, and you know who it is. It's Christ himself. And so this is a dangerous game. This is dangerous territory we're all dancing in right now in the world of conspiracy. I'm going to get off my soapbox. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I'm not. But I could be. Anyway, so why am I ranting about this? Oh, because Jay-Z started calling out conspiracy theorists. And he's not reading the room. Because, like, even though I say, like, a lot of the new conspiracy theorists are... And by the way, shout out Sam Tripoli, because he's an OG. You know, he's been crushing it. He's on the Mount Crushmore of all podcasting. He's been hitting all the big shows. Thank goodness. You know, I know Sam Tripoli personally. I've had some people, a lot of people, most people like Sam. I've had a couple people who don't like Sam, and that's fine. But like, he's a good dude. And I'm telling you that personally. I'm not best friends with him, like that I know him on that level, but my interactions, which I've had many over the years, he is a good dude. That doesn't mean I condone or agree with everything he says. Of course. Why would I? You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, he's actually a genuine, honest dude, and I actually trust him. So shout out to him, man. He's been crushing on tons of these huge podcasts. You know, Joe Rogan again a couple months ago. Anyway, back to the story at hand. Someone on X, the username Welp, period. posted Tony Busby's response a few weeks ago to some of these things. So this is a few weeks old. Tony Busby said, okay, let me try to get back in the groove here. In October, Tony Busby says, we got this lawsuit, 120 people, tons of names are coming out. Stand by. December 8th, Jay-Z gets named. So between those two things, this happened on Busby's after the October announcement. This is what Busby had posted on his Instagram. I've been sued in Los Angeles in a last-ditch effort to stop me from revealing names in public lawsuits. It won't work. The irony? The suit against me was filed by a powerful John Doe. Here's my full statement. We won't allow the powerful and their high-dollar lawyers to intimidate or silence sexual assault survivors. It has been reported that a lawsuit has been filed against my firm claiming extortion. The lawyers that filed it also immediately called TMZ in an apparent effort to silence those who allege sexual assault. Here's the deal. The case filed against my firm is not only without legal merit, it is laughable. Here's why. On behalf of two clients who allege sexual assault, we sent a standard demand letter to a New York lawyer that we know represents an alleged perpetrator and potential defendant. The letters were sent seeking a confidential mediation in lieu of filing a lawsuit. No amount of money was included in the demand letters. No threats were made. The demand letters sent are no different than the ones routinely sent by lawyers across the country in all types of cases. It is obvious that the frivolous lawsuit filed against my firm is an aggressive attempt to intimidate or silence me and ultimately my clients. That effort is a gross miscalculation. I am a U.S. Marine. I won't be silenced or intimidated, neither will my clients. Since our professional efforts at resolution obviously have failed, we will instead disclose the demand letters we sent at the time we filed suit. Abuse of the legal system, unfortunately, runs rampant. The lawsuit filed against my firm is a prime example of that. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. I have confidence that with full public disclosure, all of this will sort itself out. So, that's why I think Jay-Z was talking about the Marines, as if he would know. And I'm thinking that Jay-Z is this powerful John Doe trying to stop his name from going out, because you'll find this pattern of Jay-Z shutting things down about him all over the place. So, the name finally drops. Now we can start saying, okay, what's going on here? And I've done many shows talking about Jay-Z over the years. Nothing, I don't know if I did a deep dive ever like I did with Diddy. Maybe it's in due time, I will. Maybe this is in order here. And look, I'm a Jay-Z fan. I love Jay-Z. I grew up on Jay-Z. So, like, I don't want people to be upset with me just because they're like, oh, you don't even love. I love Jay-Z, his music. I don't like his newer stuff. I think when he started getting money, it got kind of boring, to be honest. So let's look at some names here. Tory Lanez's father. Remember Tory Lanez? He shot Meg Thee Stallion in the foot. And I think he's doing 10 years, isn't he? Anyway. If you go to Hip Hop DX, there's an article talking about, there was a rant that Tory Lanez's father had going on after he got sentenced. There's a video of it out there. You've probably seen it. Tory Lanez's father was ranting and raving about Jay-Z. This is back in 2022. And for a little background, Megan Thee Stallion is under Roc Nation, under Jay-Z. Okay. I'm a huge Meg Thee Stallion fan too, by the way. Okay, so let's read to you from Hip Hop DX. Law and crime reporter Megan Cunniff, who was present at the trial, added that it was a crazy and downright scary scene in the courtroom as Tory Lanez's father and stepmother screamed about wicked injustice. A video from the Shade Room later surfaced of Sunstar, that's Tory Lanez's father, his name is Sunstar. Cool name. later surfaced of Sunstar outside the courthouse delivering an impassioned address to reporters, where he called out Meg Thee Stallion's management company, Roc Nation, as well as its founder, Jay-Z. Quote, I just stood here in this Los Angeles and witnessed the worst miscarriage of justice that this world has ever seen. You want to know how I feel? I'll tell you exactly how I feel. He then read out a list of names that included Megan's lawyer, Alex Spiro, Desiree Perez, the COO of Roc Nation. Quote, and the whole wicked system of Roc Nation, including you, Jay-Z. You who say you rose from the gutter, but you have traded and bartered the souls of young men, and you're still doing it. Lanez's father then started claimed the trial was corrupt and accused witness Sean Kelly of being in cahoots with prosecutors. Quote, I've seen so much evidence buried in this, he explained. In a separate video, he promised Roc Nation would crumble. That's interesting. I wonder what was said and done here. Okay. Then we've got he mentioned Desiree Perez. Okay. Don't want to skip this part here. Well, we talked about Desiree Perez before, all right? The COO of Roc Nation. She's been the CEO. She was appointed to that in 2009. And what's interesting is that she, at least when I talked about her just a few months ago, I don't remember, I think I did Richard Syrett's show. Shout out Richard Syrett. I need to hook up with him again. I had notes about this. Anyways, she didn't have a Wikipedia page. Maybe she does now. Should I look it up, everybody? What do you think? She does now. No, she doesn't. I looked up Desiree Perez. No Wikipedia page. And she deserves a Wikipedia page because she's very interesting. So, why do you think that is? Because, again, the point I'm trying to make, Jay-Z has his fingies in a lot of pies. and he is very cautious about what is revealed to the public. You know, so Variety details the stuff going on here. They talk about Roc Nation being part of the Super Bowl halftime show. Of course, we're going to talk about that briefly in a minute. And we find out that Desiree Perez was actually pardoned by Donald Trump after her 1994 arrest for conspiracy with intent to distribute narcotics. Perez cooperated with the U.S. Attorney's Office and received a sentence of 5 years probation. Among other offenses, she was later charged with parole violation and served 9 months in prison in 1999. Then it goes on to talk about theories on how all this happened, suggesting that because how does she get a pardon from Donald Trump? And why? Because she wasn't in prison anymore. Van Jones from CNN, who dislikes Trump, somehow is friends with him, and Jared Kushner was able to convince Trump to pardon Desiree Perez. Strange bedfellows here. And then it also suggests that the pardon was part of a reason that the Roc Nation stars hadn't been campaigning for Democrats in 2020 as hard as they Jay-Z and Beyonce were for Obama in 2012. There's some political angling here is what it appears to be. So my question remains, why this pardon of someone who's not even in prison? It says in the article, it says, why is a pardon important for Perez, who's already reached the upper ranks in the business? Insiders point to global ambitions for the executive, who was promoted from COO to CEO of Roc Nation in December 2019, as well as the company's ambitions to move into businesses like cannabis. Jay-Z recently launched a brand called Monogram and Spirits. Quote, as a convicted felon, there are certain things you can't do, like run a public company. That may have been holding Roc Nation back. So it's because they wanted to go public of some kind with this Monogram cannabis business, which was ironically in the news a few days ago for failing miserably. Jay-Z dropped it from the label, so to speak. It was supposed to be this ultra premium cannabis, but apparently, I don't know, people who smoke a lot said it wasn't. It said it was mid. That kush is mid, son. Anyway, what was interesting is that there was a Netflix show called Griselda about Sofia Vergara, or starring Sofia Vergara, excuse me. She plays the role of Griselda Blanco. And Griselda is, of course, the Black Widow, the cocaine godmother, Colombian drug lord. And the rumor is that Perez, and I use that term because I'm not trying to get in any problems here. Allegedly, Perez used to traffic for Griselda and then became an informant. But if you look on the internet, you're going to find nothing about it. So I don't know. Unsubstantiated rumor, allegation, I have no idea. So then we go on to Beyonce. And it makes me wonder if there's some allegations that Jay-Z is grooming Beyonce, and he did so when she was young. He's 55, she's 43 today, so she's 12 years older than her, okay? Not terrible. My boy Leo goes for way, way bigger age gaps. And when it gets weird when you try to figure out when these two met. Because officially, they say, like People Magazine, the tabloids, they'll say they met when she was 18. 99 to 2000 time frame is when they met. And you're going to see a variety of vague dates and ages. Nobody seems to know. But if we go to a 2007 Charlie Rose interview with Jay-Z, Jay-Z himself said he met her 10 years ago, which would be 1997. Beyonce was 16 years old. He doesn't say about 10 years ago. He says definitively 10 years ago. And I'm going to play the clip for you. Take a listen.
Remember how long it was?
Yeah, when I met her. I mean,
was it 5 years ago? Was it?
I met her 10 years ago. But
well, did you say to yourself at that time, wow?
I said, yeah, that's a fantastic talent.
Was that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, because
you saw talent before you saw talent before you saw anything else.
Yeah, because she was singing like a rapper.
Now, if you watch the video clip, you'd see if you're on the tier two, you can get that video clip. If you're on the Rumble, I put my videos on Rumble now. I don't know how long I want to do that, but I post the videos late, a month late on Rumble. But if you're a supporter on tier two, you get the videos right away, early access. But if you watch the video version, you're gonna notice his composure when Charlie asks him if he was impressed by her talent or looks, and he says that she's a fantastic talent. And his eyes, you can see his eyes. He ain't talking about her singing ability, okay? And didn't Charlie Rose get in trouble? Yes, he did. He got in some trouble, too. He got canceled as well. What a mess. What a mess. So, Beyonce could have been, I mean, I would even say probably, involved with Jay-Z when she was 16. Maybe. Based on all that vagary. And then Jay-Z himself saying exactly that. I don't know. What are we supposed to believe? And there's all these allegations about Beyonce being Illuminati confirmed. I've talked about her a million times over the years. Some people say she's been groomed. Some people say she's got a fifth grade education, and that's why Jay-Z won't let her do any interviews. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. We're going to talk about a couple more later. Let's talk about Aaliyah, though. Aaliyah, she met R. Kelly when she got into music. She was 12. He was 24. That's pretty bad. He became her mentor, a.k.a. groomer. Producer, launched her first album called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. I mean, come on. It's right there in plain sight. They get married in 1993. She's 15 and he's 27. He allegedly used fake documents to make the marriage happen. It ends up getting annulled a couple years later. Now, they get annulled in 1995, all right? So she's what, 17? Well, Jay-Z meets her through Damon Dash in 1999. They're adults, and the allegations are that they were dating for about a year, but it's always been very secretive because, again, the theme you'll find with Jay-Z holds a lot of secrets. Doesn't let information get out. Very controlling on his appearance. This sounds a lot like Diddy. And that would make sense because those two are best friends. And Jay-Z's been mysteriously quiet since the Diddy arrest about Diddy. And there's a photo. You can find photos of Jay-Z and Aaliyah and Diddy. I mean, some people allege that she was 15 when she started messing with Jay-Z. I really don't know. Nobody even knows if they did they really date. It's rumored. She did date Damon Dash. And apparently Jay-Z had interest at some point, either before and after, he attempted to date her, and it didn't work out. And Damon Dash had said, yeah, Aaliyah was kind of chill like that. She would give anybody a shot to, you know, see how things were. And if she didn't want to date you, like, she would still be your friend. Like, she was cool like that, you know? But she was officially dating Damon Dash in the year 2000. They were talking about marriage, and then she died in August of 2001. A discussion, which is the theme of this book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. That's why I called it Sacrifice, okay? There's a lot of talk about blood sacrifices and the murder and deaths of these celebrities, these musicians. And this is where the conspiracy comes in. Because the conspiracy is that Jay-Z was so jealous and mad that Damon Dash effectively was able to take his girl that he wanted, that he would have Aaliyah murdered, taken away from Damon Dash. But to understand why that's a conspiracy theory and why that could be true, we have to understand the beef with Dame Dash and Jay-Z. So let's talk about that. There's a good timeline at XXLMag.com. Jay-Z and Damon Dash started Rockefeller Records in 1994, along with Kareem Biggs Burke. So the three of them started this record label. They launch with Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt album in 1996. They start the label because Jay-Z said nobody would sign him. They all thought he was trash. And Reasonable Doubt's a great album. One of his best. Then in 97, he drops In My Lifetime Volume 1, and it just takes off. And Dame Dash and Jay-Z through Rockefeller Records are like, let's do a concert tour, Hard Knock Life tour in 99. Jay-Z, DMX, Red and Meth, DJ Clue. It was a huge concert. In fact, I almost went. My friends We're all going. And I think it was in Jersey is where they were going. But I had to leave for boot camp. I couldn't go. And I was real upset. I was like, man, I want to go to this concert. Like, I was deep into that scene, you know? And I thought about it. I thought, maybe I just won't go to boot camp. I thought about it. But the responsible, mature version of me at 18, even then, was like, no, I got to do this. But, like, that's how influential those rappers were for me back then. They still are. I love all those guys. Their music, at least. Anyway, things were pretty rough behind the scenes, apparently, for years. In 2002, Dame Dash talks about putting Cam'ron, the rapper from Diplomats, as the vice president of Rockefeller. But Jay-Z hated Cam'ron, and he felt like Dame Dash was betraying him. A bunch of stuff fell into work. They were trying to get amusement parks going, a film. And in 2004... is when the things really come to a head. Rockefeller renews with Def Jam, because they were under Def Jam, apparently. They renew with Def Jam for $20 million. The original 1997 deal was for $1 million, because they weren't shit back then. So, I mean, they made it, right? But however, during all this, Jay negotiated during this negotiation to be the president and CEO of Def Jam Records. And this felt like a betrayal to Dame Dash. And part of the deal was that Jay sold his portion of Rockefeller to Def Jam, and Dame Dash was like, okay, fine, but you got to at least let me keep the Rockefeller name and still run the business. And Jay says, only if you give me the masters to Reasonable Doubt. But Dame Dash is like, I'm not doing that. So, you know, beef, right? Dame Dash said that Jay-Z said, it's just business. Quote, but we were always supposed to be about more than business. Jay especially. I did everything I possibly could so that he didn't have to raise his voice. He just had to whisper something in my ear, and I would take care of it. The people I fought with to make money for him, Leo Cohen and Kevin Lyles, he's made friends with. He hangs out with Puff now. It's like if your brother leaves you. So over the years, a bunch of rock artists... during this transition, a bunch of them signed with Jay-Z over at Def Jam label, fight ensues for years. Jay-Z buys out Rockaware from Dame Dash. He apparently pulled a rug on him somehow. Allegations made that Dame Dash is trying to make passes at Beyonce while Jay-Z was dating Beyonce. Damon Dash gets into some trouble with some film he was making, ends up defaming an investor, gets sued, court orders Dame Dash to pay back this director, and he ends up forfeiting his final chunk of Rockefeller Records to the director. So, back to Aaliyah. Back in 2002, right? Remember we had this heated moment where Dame Dash and Jay-Z were about to split up? Sorry, let me pump the brakes a little bit. So, Dame Dash and Aaliyah are dating 2000, talking about getting married 2001, August 2001. Aaliyah's filming, what's the video? More Than a Woman? No, Don't Rock the Boat in the Bahamas or something. And she was supposed to get on this little puddle jumper plane to fly back to, I guess, Miami or whatever. And the plane wrecks and she dies. So in August 2001, while Dame Dash and Aaliyah are talking about getting married, she dies. Very tragic, very sad. So imagine Dame Dash when, within a year, in 2002, Jay-Z releases an album with R. Kelly called The Best of Both Worlds. Because you remember, Aaliyah and Dame Dash were very close, obviously. And R. Kelly, I mean... he seemed pretty abusive. He's sitting in prison right now. I imagine there's some stories that Aaliyah might have had that shared with Dame Dash, where I would assume that Dame Dash is not like R. Kelly. And in fact, he doesn't. I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. So for Jay-Z to do this huge album, The Best of Both Worlds, I mean, Dame Dash must have been pissed, right? And Dame Dash starts vocally distancing himself from Jay-Z and that album, citing moral objections. In fact, he still talks about it. In October of 2024, he did an interview with American New Network YouTube and said, quote, "It's morally wrong to do a project with someone that we know raped my girl or raped anybody for that matter. I do know when that project did come out, I didn't want any part of that project. I didn't want any of the money to go to Rockefeller or me when it came to Rockefeller." So, Jay-Z, pretty nefarious, pretty wicked. So the theory that Aaliyah and her death came about because Jay-Z was just trying to screw with Dame Dash, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something there. Especially because Jay-Z probably felt like, you know, every rap song, he talks about how he's like the biggest pimp that ever walked and he could have any girl he wants. And apparently he couldn't have Aaliyah, but Dame Dash could. I mean, that's kind of a diss, right? That's a blow to his ego. And if you're a big softy, you know, these tough guys are the softest people sometimes. I'm just saying maybe, right? Because Jay-Z's like, look, I'm the star, not Damon Tash. How dare she get with him and not me? Because Jay-Z was as big as it got at this point, right? Tupac and Big, they were both gone, dead. Probably by Diddy, allegedly. And Dame Dash over the years allegedly got blacklisted from the industry because of Jay-Z, because these two just don't get along. And recall everything we've been hearing about Aaliyah and her death. Witnesses are saying that she was drugged and unconscious and they carried her limp body onto this plane that she didn't even want to get on, piloted by a pilot who said he shouldn't be flying this plane because it's too heavy. I mean, we got dark business going on here maybe, right? Because if you're going to take someone out, like, I don't know. I'm just saying. So in conclusion, let's wrap this up. Kind of a longer conclusion. Jay-Z, dangerous guy. Dangerous guy. Because he's got real power. He's plugged into the Illuminati confirms. 100%. Lots of allegations of how his power is used to shut people up. To blacklist them. Lots of stuff, right? Like Dame Dash and Blue Cantrell got dropped. Allegedly, I guess Jay-Z dated Blue Cantrell while he was dating Beyonce, but she didn't keep it discreet. Oh, man. If you go to House and Habit, Emily wrote up a piece on the Diddy Files about Blue Cantrell. You can read that. Pretty interesting read for more details on that. Jay-Z even... So he's had lots of girls over the years, allegedly, including Rachel Roy, who would go on to marry Damon Dash. She was the one that allegedly the fight in the elevator with Solange and Beyonce and Jay-Z. Remember that? Allegedly, she was Becky with the good hair. Fun fact, Rachel Roy's Wikipedia doesn't mention Jay-Z one time, you know? And I get it. Like, lots of people tell me, they're like, why do you cite Wikipedia? And I get it, because, like, stuff like this. Like, they smoke screen-y stuff sometimes. We only know that she was married to Damon Dash from 2004 to 2009 and had two kids, right? But she's alleged to be Becky because she's the one that posted a caption after the release of the Lemonade album, which is the album that Beyonce said Becky with the good hair, apparently. I don't know. She said, good hair, don't care, but we will take good lighting for selfies or self-truths always. Live in the light. Hashtag no drama queens. So this is why, to go back to Beyonce, this is why everyone at these award shows, Adele, there's lots of video clips if you look around, of people thanking Beyonce when they win the award. Defending Jay-Z, defending Beyonce. Talking about how she had the best video of all time. Kanye West. Remember that? Because the other theory is that all these women in the early 2000s were under the control of Jay-Z. They were stunted. Blacklisted. Maya, Monica, Aaliyah, Blue Cantrell all suffered. Their careers suffered because they crossed the wrong person. Allegedly. And then you got Kathy White. Oh boy. Another alleged mistress. Some people even say Blue Ivy is actually Kathy White's real mother because she died from an aneurysm. Shocked it wasn't pneumonia. Because if you listen to, I had all these shows I've talked about with Diddy, the Kim Porter book that we unpacked, crazy stuff, right? And Kathy White is part of this. She died, and people allege that Jay-Z had her taken out. People allege that Beyonce was never pregnant. I don't know. It's kind of preposterous seeming. Like the baby bump that folds over. It's also strange. And I'm curious about what goes on with the Super Bowl now. You know, Roc Nation runs the Super Bowl halftime show, the most occulted high-profile energy ritual event of the year. Kendrick Lamar is supposed to be the next one, but now there's rumors that Lil Wayne's going to take over because I guess something about how Drake is suing because he doesn't want Kendrick Lamar to do They Not Like Us. I don't know. The whole gossip with hip-hop is unreal. Because I think it's interesting because I think Drake knows how the game is rigged because that's why he's suing UMG for playing Kendrick Lamar's music too much. Because he knows that like things are set up like this. But all these rappers, I mean, they've got such problems with the young girls. You know what I mean? Jay-Z especially, albums with R. Kelly, buddies with Diddy, buddies with Weinstein. All these allegations of him dating girls underage, Rihanna, Lil' Kim, Aaliyah, Beyonce, Foxy Brown, who she was kind of dropping cryptic hints about how she's going to reveal this shocking story one day and hasn't. And then we got Jaguar Wright. She got her start with Jay-Z, and she's been naming names and dropping conspiracy theories all over about murder and rape and hip-hop and all the things which have come true, if you believe the Diddy allegations. And what's interesting was that in October, she was on Piers Morgan talking about these things. Piers Morgan proceeds to take down the interview from the internet, you can't find it, then publicly apologize to Jay-Z and Beyonce, just like all these other apologies. Adele, oh, I'm sorry, I won. Beyonce should have won. Oh. And why do they do it? Maybe it's because they're scared to death, literally. The Piers Morgan interview got scrubbed real good, but I found it on Rumble. I'll try to put a link in the show notes. And you can watch it for yourself. I'll play clips for you, though, to save you some time. Jaguar Wright says to Piers Morgan, she's like, look, Diddy's just the beginning. It ain't over until they're all arrested. Which, again, very prophetic. She knew there was more coming. And in this clip, she talks about how Diddy and Jay-Z are both monsters. Take a listen.
You want to know why there's no vindication for me? Because for 4 years, I've been screaming, not just Diddy, but Diddy and Jay-Z are monsters. And the victim-making machine kept going on.
Jay-Z has been notable by his silence since these charges were brought against Diddy. Why do you think that is?
Because that's what he does. He starts little fires everywhere, forces everyone involved to go and carry water while he sneaks away without a response. That changes now, Sean. You must respond. You have no choice. Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, Robert Kelly, Sean Combs have one person in common, professionally and privately. Sean Carter. This has been a fist of tyranny that has been punching through our culture and our society for decades. It must stop.
She says, Piers asks why Jay-Z is so silent. And she starts calling out Epstein, Weinstein, R. Kelly, Diddy, and all these people are linked to Jay-Z. Then, and there's another clip. I want to play this clip for clarification because when you look around online at a lot of these theories, some people are saying that she calls Jay-Z the devil. She's actually talking about Diddy here. I'm going to play the clip so you know what I'm talking about. Take a listen.
Of him. She doesn't have a picture with him. I'm smarter than Claudia Jordan. I would never take a picture with the devil. Everyone knew he was the devil. He's been the devil for 30 years. He's been covered and protected by not only Clive Davis, but Lucian Grange. He was selected to be the demon that he is to keep the culture in line so the industry could continue to rape it for all of its precious jewels. We have too many lost. The list of lost is ridiculous. And everyone knows Diddy was selected for this job.
But she says that Diddy is definitely going to spill the beans when it comes time, which is why I don't think he's going to make it to that courtroom, because of his ego and how he's got all these people on tape. He's going to drag them all down with him. She talks about Blink Twice being important, which I did a whole analysis on that. I'm going to try to put some show links in the show notes. If you're newer to me, you're going to be like, bro, you're saying a lot of stuff here. What are you talking about? And you're going to need to listen to these other episodes. That's why you got to catch up and stay subscribed to the show. We're going to unpack this whole thing as it unfolds. But she says that Blink Twice is important because it's basically implying it's real and she's experienced it, from the rituals to the drugging, putting girls in suitcases, crazy stuff. She mentions how the Me Too movement, they're talking about how it somehow missed the music industry. And Jaguar says that Jay-Z funded the Dream Happen documentary Surviving R. Kelly. She says, what's the difference between me and Judy Garland? Social media. Because Judy Garland was abused horrifically by the industry, and she ain't gonna let that happen. So then she says this, and boy, oh boy, is this a good one. She says that she has, I'm gonna let her say, take a listen.
I have three victims right now who are willing to give testimony about not only what Mr. Carter has done to them, but his wife as well. They're a nasty little couple. They do nasty things.
What do you think happened with Kim?
Keeping people against their will. Putting people on planes while they're unconscious, just like Aaliyah got on that plane. Unconscious. There's a lot of things that people don't want to talk about, Pierce.
Listen, like I said, Jay-Z and Beyonce are not here, unfortunately, to respond to that.
I know. I'm just being honest with you.
You're perfectly entitled to your views, obviously. Kim Porter,
yes.
A new book claims that Diddy may have been involved in her early death. What do you think of that?
I think people should really look into that more. I am friends with Albie Shore. I love him. I love his children. I knew Kim. We used to all hang out together at the Kit Kat Club.
She calls out Jay-Z and Beyonce. She implies that Aaliyah was killed. It's a mess. Piers Morgan even asks about Kim Porter and then cuts the interview. And he's like, okay, that's enough. Cuts over to DJ Vlad, who proceeds to dismiss Jaguar Wright's claims. And he insists, oh, this is nothing like Epstein. I don't know, dude. Are you sure about that? Because that's what the Lil Rod lawsuit said, is that this is an Epstein operation and with Diddy. And look, to be fair, I think Jaguar Wright is very dramatic when she talks. But it's a dramatic subject, and I tend to believe her, okay? I don't love the theatrics of it all, because that's not my preferred way of presenting information I'm trying to make people think about or believe. But she's very passionate about it. She went through it, so I mean, who am I to judge, right? So, I don't know. Is she telling the truth? I wasn't there. I don't know. If history's a judge, it seems like, yeah, right? So, what's going to happen with Jay-Z? What's going to happen with Diddy? Was Cat Williams right? Because you got to go back. I did a Cat Williams breakdown of his massive interview at the beginning of 2024 where he said all this stuff was going to come to light. And man, 2024 has been wild. Rounding it out perfectly in December with aliens in New Jersey and CEOs being shot and now Jay-Z finally getting called out. And I do believe, my personal opinion, that Diddy and Jay-Z are cozy and tight with these Epstein-type operations from everything I've ever seen. Back in when I wrote Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, I talked about Jay-Z being connected. I'm going to read you from it. Jay-Z could have the most predictive programming out of all the artists in the industry. His album, The Blueprint, was released on September 11, 2001. Also note that it was Kanye West's breakout into the industry for the production. As it would turn out, it was indeed the blueprint of the Illuminati. The Blueprint 2, The Gift and the Curse, dropped November 12, 2002, the day that news broke that Osama bin Laden was behind the 9/11 attacks. And again on November 12, 2013, we had the One World Trade Center announced as the tallest building in the U.S. The Blueprint 2 had a photo of Jay-Z on the cover with what looks like his hand is making the gesture of 666. And then I talked about how his next album, The Black Album, had tracks about Lucifer, and you can hear it say Murder, Murder, Jesus hidden on it. A song called Hollywood with Beyonce warning about how Hollywood's this dangerous place and people being blinded by the fame. Then we had The Blueprint 3, also dropped September 11th, 2009. And on that album, we got the song Run This Town, which had allegations of lyrics taken from a poem from the Order of Nine Angles, a satanic murder group. And it was the behind the scenes of Run This Town that we saw the image of Jay-Z wearing the hoodie that said, Do What Thou Wilt, the Aleister Crowley saying. I also talk in the book about Mr. Gates's Jupitern with the symbolism of Jay-Z and paganism, mocking Christianity and bringing about the New Age. Symbolism of the rock diamond being the triangle of manifestation and ritual magic. And we even talked about Blue Ivy conspiracy theories in the book, which came from originally Cat Williams, which brings us full circle back to Cat Williams. So a lot to unpack with all this stuff. Will I do a deep dive into Jay-Z? I don't know. Maybe maybe it deserves one. The Diddy one was 3 hours. So we'll see. And again, I'll put links in the show notes. Here's some other episodes you should catch up on, because if you're on the supporter feeds, I can't really link the shows because of the app you're using. It's hard to explain. So I don't want to drop free feed links to shows. So I'll put the dates of the show. But January 2024, we did a Cat Williams Shay Shay Room, which is part of this. I'll put a link to the Blink Twice episode we did just a couple months ago. I'll put a link to the Diddy episode, the 3-hour deep dive into Diddy, which is important as well, from, I don't know, when did I do that? June. And I'll put a link to get the book Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, Amazon, Audible. I did the voice narration on Audible. Or you can get a signed copy, gumroad.com/IsaacW. And if you want those shows ad free or I think the Diddy 3 hours is a supporters only bonus episode, take advantage of the patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Use promo code Diddy, D-I-D-D-Y, all caps. 80% off tier 1 or tier 2. That means a buck. You could get in for a buck for a month. See if you like it. Listen to as many episodes as you can. And, unsubscribe if you don't like it. Okay? Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to the show. Till next time, stay positive.